Good morning. Welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, the Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Diane B., and I'm a recovered compulsive eater calling in from New York. Today is Tuesday, May 9th, 2023. Today we're reading from the Big Book. We are on page 80, second paragraph, beginning with, this brings to mind a story about one of our friends, and ending with, in fact, his rival was ruined. Oh my goodness. Let's see. The readers today, thank you everyone for your service. We have 12 steps with Nancy C., 12 traditions, Mary P., text is Becca R., page 164 is Jordan L., our backup reader is Reggie O., newcomer greeter Lorraine N., and announcements is going to be Betsy H. So the reference numbers, yesterday, Monday, May 8th, 2023 at 10 a.m. Eastern Time, 20,237. So that's 20237. This morning, Tuesday, May 9th, 2023 at 7 a.m. Eastern Time, the number is 20,239. That's 20239. OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We are self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive eating and compulsive food behaviors and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose, OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At a Vision for You Big Book study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. So with that, I will ask Nancy C. to please read the steps for us.
Good morning, everyone. Nancy C., gratefully recovered in Ann Arbor, Michigan this morning. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood Him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked Him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood Him, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Pass.
Thank you. Thanks, Nancy. Mary P., will you please read us the traditions?
I will. Thanks, Diane. This is Mary P. in Austin, Texas, and these are the 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. One, our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. Two, for our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God as He may express Himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. Three, the only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. Four, each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. Five, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. Six, an OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise less problems of money, property, and prestige, divert us from our primary purpose. 7, every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8, Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9, OA as such ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10, Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Its OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11, our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thank you for letting me be of service, and I'll pass.
Thank you, Mary. Let's see, where are we? Oh, how our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we are discussing, and that you keep your share to approximately 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. And although we value your experience, we ask that you limit your share to every third day in order that others might have a chance to share their experience too. Our absence requirement for moderators is 1 year and for readers is 6 months. There is no absence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We are sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you are done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted, and in order to hear everyone clearly, we request that you do not use the speaker function on your phone. So today we're resuming our study of the Big Book. We're on page 80. We're in the second paragraph, beginning with "This brings to mind," and ending with "In fact, his rival is ruined." So now, will Becca R. please get us started?
Hey, good morning. Becca R., recovered compulsive overeater. This brings to mind a story about one of our friends. While drinking, he accepted a sum of money from a bitterly hated business rival, giving him no receipt for it. He subsequently denied having received the money and used the incident as a basis for discrediting the man. He thus used his own wrongdoing as a means of destroying the reputation of another. In fact, his rival was ruined. Yeah, this brings to mind one of my more recent amends, and it was a Venmo transaction that somebody had deposited a sum of money into my account on accident. And you better believe if I had deposited an amount of money this big into someone else's account, or not even this big, I would have worked really hard to rectify it. But since it was not hurting me by having extra money in this account, I did what I do in my disease. I ignored it. It wasn't hurting me. I had no care for the other person. It was labeled October rent. And I ignored it for years until I came into this recovery, which was about a year ago. And for whatever reason, in my prayer and meditation, all of a sudden this popped up. It was something I had buried, I had forgotten. And and so it really helped me see that that character defect of laziness was at play. And I don't want to carry that kind of stuff around. I did make the amends, cleaned up my side of the street, and I'm really grateful to not be carrying that around anymore. But for me, the biggest thing was just to still today is to continue to seek through prayer and meditation. Is there something more, God? Is there somewhere else? Is there more inventory to do? Is there more amends to be made? And just constantly looking for things in my past that might come up, or things in my current that that the awareness might come up. But I know by getting busy and doing, I'm not allowing that time to connect with my higher power. And I feel like it's in those times, those quiet times, my meditation, my morning time, the quiet times, the still times are when things like that pop up. And I'm like, oh, this is an opportunity to make amends. So glad to be here. Thanks, I pass.
Thank you so much. Oh, hold on a sec. Sorry, I messed up here. Okay. Thank you so much, Becca, for getting us started. Before I start taking names, I'd like to remind you that if you have shared in the past 3 days, please step back so somebody else can have a chance. When you give me your name, give me the initial of your last name too, please, and star one to unmute.
Veronica B.
Veronica B.
Ronnie B. in Missouri.
Ronnie B. What is the abbreviation for Missouri?
Barbara E. from New Jersey.
Barbara
it's
E.
It's M.
M what?
M-O.
Thank you. There are too many M states. I have Veronica B., Ronnie B., Barbara E.
Would you please remind us of what page and what paragraph, please?
Sure. Okay, we're on page 80, second paragraph, beginning with "This brings to mind," ending with "In fact, his rival was ruined."
Thank you.
You're welcome. Anybody else want to join the first lineup?
Janice.
Unmute. Janice? All right, let's go with that. I have Veronica B., Ronnie B., Barbara E., and Janice. I think it was K, but I'm not sure. So let's start with Veronica B.
Hi, good morning. I am Veronica B., recovered compulsive overeater in Los Angeles. And thank you for your service. So we've been talking about making amends, and they give examples of when you commit a wrong and make an amends. And for me, this paragraph is just about, it reminds me of when I, in my recovery, when I would, you know, gossip about my girlfriends or I would do something to hurt somebody else. And I like that lead share because for me, it's just about, this program is about, I used to have a sponsor that would say, no new wreckage. Like, I just could not create new wreckage, you know, in these relationships of mine. And so this is how the steps help mold me into a taker to a giver. And that meant, like, I had to right the wrongs that I created. And then once I did steps 8 and 9, I couldn't repeat that behavior of hurting others, no new wreckage. And so this way of life, this spiritual way of life, because this is a spiritual program, tells me that, you know, for today, like I am here to do God's work. I'm here to do what I think God would have me do and what God would have me be. And that would mean not to hurt people in the day. And by working these steps, I change my thinking, my behavior changes, and then, you know, I hope that I don't hurt anyone today. And for me, like, I have a big family, and it's easy for me to want to get my way with my my sisters, for example, as we care for our mom with Alzheimer's. And there's a lot of, you know, there's a lot of variables with caregivers and, you know, people calling in sick. And, you know, it's easy for me to take it out on my sisters and not be kind to them. And this is, for me, if I mistreat other people, this is what makes me feel bad at night when I'm reviewing my night, my daily review. If my gut, like if something feels off in my gut, is usually because I hurt somebody. You know, like I intuitively know when I hurt someone, you know, because I've gotten so, this program has given me so much awareness and I'm so awake. I'm so awakened and hyper aware of my behavior that I know when I've hurt someone, when I've wronged someone, you know, and this program gives me a way of, you know, hopefully not creating new wreckage. And then when I do, immediately apologizing and taking responsibility. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thanks, Veronica. Perfect timing. Next, we have Ronnie B.
Good morning, everyone. Ronnie B. in Missouri, compulsive overeater. This paragraph seems to be coming up a lot in the meetings that I attend, and it's probably because at one point in recovery, it was very many years ago, I was new, I was sober probably 30 years, but in OA, very new and very green. And so what had happened is I was working at this job and I was promised a promotion soon. So my boss's best friend's wife and the best friend lost their jobs. And he came to me and said, I am sure you will understand, but I am giving your promotion to her because they will need the money more. And I got to tell you, I was furious. I was hurt. I felt embarrassed. And that was a big thing. I felt embarrassed that other people would be thinking, why would she not get that promotion? So, of course, I was out to lunch with a bunch of women, and this is not about anybody else, but a lot of jibber-jabber, you know, a lot of gossip, and which I also absolutely partook in. And I also liked it that they were doing it, and I was getting pitied. You know, poor Ronnie. So fast forward, God had put me where he wanted me. I got another job. In another location where meetings were abundant, and it was a much better job, lucrative. God took care of me. But the first amends I made was to that boss. And I did, and I called him, and I told him, you know, what I had done, and I was attempting to destroy his character. And for that, I am really sorry. You know, I did what was suggested. And I thought he would say, wow, aren't you wonderful for acknowledging that? That is not what happened. But what did happen is he said, wow, I got to tell everybody that you called because you realized it was your mistake. So again, I needed to just shut up. Otherwise, I would exacerbate the original problem and recreate it. So this whole thing of gossip, hurting another person's reputation. And if I'm in the middle of gossip now, I have to be honest, there's a time sometimes I want my ear to hear it, right? I do. But most of the time, I will not do that. So I'm going to go with progress, not perfection. And it's a lot of progress. I was at a woman's luncheon over the weekend, and someone I was sitting next to, and that could have been me, was attempting to destroy someone else's character. And all I could do was listen. And Emmett Fox, somebody else I read, you know, he says, don't fight it. There's no need to fight it. Just ignore it. And, you know, God willing, eventually my point will come across. But for me, it's progress, not perfection. But that behavior I had, I never want to repeat that. Anyway, that's all I have.
Gentle reminder.
Yes. Thank you for your service.
Thanks, Ronnie. Next, we have Barbara E. in New Jersey.
Good morning, everyone. May I be heard?
Yes, you are.
Oh, great. Great. Well, thank you for the reading, and thank you for the reminder and the shares that came before me. I just wanted to say I was always full of selfish, demanding, self-relying, hiding myself behind masks, never being authentic, never wanting to admit I was wrong, and certainly unwilling to humbly go to someone or institution and say honestly what I did that was wrong and what I was prepared to do to repair the harm. And I know I had to go and give up one of my favorite pastimes, which was gossiping, because if I gossiped about someone, somehow I felt superior, but really when underneath I was feeling inferior. And I always gossiped, and if someone was gossiping, I said, oh, please tell me what you're doing. So I had to give up the gossiping, and I didn't go to the people I'd gossiped about, because that, I would believe, would be creating new wreckage. I had to make a living amends by not gossiping anymore. But I did go to the people that I enjoyed gossiping with, and I said, you know what, I don't feel very good about that. I don't think I want to hear about this person, place, or thing. So I believe that the anonymity of the group is very sacred in that space. And I had to make restitution for reams of paper that I'd stolen when I was teaching. And it came to hundreds of dollars, but I knew that was what I had to do. And I went to the superintendent of the school system I was working in and said, I owe you hundreds of dollars. I claimed that to myself, I lied to myself and said I was doing it because I was going to print Xerox. Oh God, I'm old. Xerox papers for my students. But if that was true, why was I sneaking them in the reams of paper into my bag so no one could see them? So I had to be honest. I had to repay the debt. And I felt much lighter in my head and also in my wallet, I have to say that. So thank you all for being here for me today. I will pass on to someone else. Thank you.
Thank you, Barbara E. Next, we have Janice K.
Hello, this is Janice K. from Oregon. And I am redoing my steps. I'm currently pushing into 8 and 9. And what I'm finding is that I have some complicated amends to make. Part of the problem, you know, you take a rock, you throw the rock into a puddle, and you make a splash and ripples, and that's a simple amend. There are times in my life when I picked up a handful of gravel and thrown it into the pond, and every little piece of gravel has a different effect and creates a different set of ripples. So I have many things that I have to look at. One of the things I appreciate about this page is that there are directions given for a complex amend. One of the things that's held me back on this amend for years is that I don't know how to do it without hurting the other people involved. I want to point out that there are some suggestions made on this page, not this paragraph. I can think good or I can think fast. I just don't get to put them together all the time. This is on yesterday's paragraph. Before taking any drastic action which might implicate other people, yeah, that's what I'm looking at, we secure their consent. Oh my goodness, I talked to them. Imagine that. If I have obtained permission to do what? To share their story, maybe? Maybe. And maybe not. Have consulted with others. Oh my goodness, also, don't do this alone. I have a sponsor and I plan to run this through her and many, many other people to correct phrasing. Ask God to help. Oh yeah, yeah, like everything else. The drastic step indicated is what is and that the drastic step is indicated. If all this stuff lines up, then we do not shrink. And this is the example of how this works. There are four things that I need to do. The first one, I don't know if the first one is talk to the person or to get consent. I guess getting consent would be first, but you know what? Wiser brains than mine have gone through this and done this before me. So I will talk to my higher power and see how I need to proceed. Perhaps if you are facing a complex amend at some point, you might find this to be of use. Thank you for listening. I pass.
Thank you, Janice. All right, so we just want to remind you that we are on page 80, second paragraph, beginning with, this brings to mind a story about one of our friends, and it ends with, in fact, his rival was ruined. So if you'd like to share, press R1 to unmute, and I will take your name and the initial of your last name.
Good morning, Barbara W.
Barbara
Seattle.
W, gotcha.
Hannah B.
Hannah, was it?
Jackie H.
Jackie H.
Cheryl F.
Yes, it was Hannah B.
Thank you, Cheryl F. Thank you, Hannah.
Jordan L.
Jordan L. Okay, so I have Barbara W., Hannah B., Jackie H., Cheryl S., and Jordan L. So Barbara W., star one to unmute, please. You're getting us started on this group.
Yes, good morning. Barbara W. from Seattle. Haven't shared in a very long time, but this paragraph just hits me between the eyes. I guess easy to gloss over the some of the bills that I don't pay on time because I'm recklessly spending money on things such as excess food. And I have justified, I sort of ignored, oh, here's the bill, and then put it on the table and ignore it. And they're big companies, and I said, oh, they've got lots of money, they don't need mine right now. And I'm listening to this paragraph and the shares, and it's just like, whoa, of course it's not okay to just, you know, you build up interest and stuff, and it's not like I'm hurting any one person, so that's how I justify it. And, you know, my tech provider and a dental bill that I continually have to make payments on. And eventually it's going to come to bite me in the back end, and I'll pay paying interest or late fees, and I don't seem to get it, that it's not right. And how do you apologize to, you know, company A, and oh, well, there's nobody there, it's just someone who answers the phone. And I have justified myself into a lot of extra weight, and I can see now why that isn't okay. How do I do that again? And I'm gonna have to pay things when they're due. And the other more important thing in this whole picture is the more I don't pay the bills, the farther away I get from my higher power, and I don't like that, because I've been where I can rely on my higher power and I do pay my bills. Thank you very much, and I pass.
Thank you, Barbara W. Next, we have Hannah B.
If you could tell us where you're from, please.
Hi, Hannah B. from Tennessee, compulsive overeater, recovering. I'm not currently on step 9, although I have done step 9 in the past, but I am back in the steps to have a new experience. By going through this book, it relates specifically to food because the credits don't transfer, and they really, really don't. And I'm really, really learning this. And I'm doing it differently this time. I've had to really look at my behaviors, non-abstinent behaviors, not just my alcoholic foods, but alcoholic behaviors. And I've had to put these things down because I am having a whole, my disease has found a way to really get sneaky and tricky over the last few years. I'm in the middle of the herd. I am all up in your business. I'm letting you be all up in my business. I'm being vulnerable. I'm in a way that I was never really willing to do. I always kind of kept myself separate, like just removed enough, just outside enough, but just connected enough. And that doesn't work. I have to completely, wholeheartedly, 1,000,000,000% surrender and give myself over to this way of life if I want to have this inner rearrangement, which I desperately need. So I'm very grateful for all of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Hannah. Next, we have Jackie.
Hi, Jackie H. from North Idaho. You know, recently I did 4 and 5, so I, you know, admit in my wrongs, and then 9, I go out and I clean it up and started doing that. And I'm amazed at how the growth and the way that my behavior and what I had done affected others. So I've been a massage therapist for years. I've been working for a spa for a couple of years. And the other day I caught myself doing something dishonest. I was taking oil at the, you know, I'd fill my bottle with oil to use for my clients there. And then, you know, before I left for the weekend, I would put a couple extra pumps in my bottle so I could use it for my own clients. So about 2 weeks ago, I went to do that, and all of a sudden, you know, that voice came in. You know, this could be classified as stealing. And I'm like, oh, I'm taking what's not mine. And so I had to go make an amends to my boss. And, you know, I asked God to help me because I was afraid. You know, I was fearful. But I knew I needed to do what God would have me do, to be who he wants me to be. And so, you know, I ended up calling my boss because I couldn't sit with it any longer. I sat with it for about 24 hours, and then I called her and I made the amends, and she was quite appreciative. And I said, you know, I will not be doing that behavior again. And, you know, when I got off that phone, there was a sense of freedom. You know, it wasn't eating at me for my wrongdoing. But what I realized was, you know, while I was in the food, while I was compulsively eating, I couldn't see what I was doing. I had no idea that I was stealing. And so it just really brought light to me, like, how important it is for me to keep showing up and doing this program and going through my amends and cleaning up my side of the street. And that's all I've got. Thank you.
Thank you, Jackie. Next, we have Cheryl F.
Good morning. This is Cheryl S., a grateful, recovered, compulsive overeater in Nevada. And this paragraph brought to mind something that happened to me a number of years ago. And I just want to start by saying, you know, I had plenty of wreckage to clean up. And through this program, you know, I've been able to do that and continue to do that with the 10th step. But I was on the other side of, you know, this kind of a situation. And what happened was I had a dispute with another person over the ownership of a horse. And another person who was at the same barn that I was at, who I knew who she was. We talked. She wasn't a friend. She posted on Facebook that I was a horse thief. And that thing took off like wildfire. And the comments that came onto Facebook about me and about, you know, if hanging was still, you know, the punishment for horse thievery, she deserves it. These were people I didn't even know. And it was absolutely heart-wrenching. But it was so interesting because I worked through the situation with the horse and I've been able to, you know, come to terms with that. And if there were amends to make them. But the thing that was so interesting was a few years later, this person that started that about me on Facebook had a very similar situation happen to her. And I have to say, my first thought was I wanted to go, ha, see, take that. But the program had changed me. And I didn't need to do that. I was able to reach out to her and just say, I'm so sorry this happened to you. And she reached out back and said, I'm so sorry for what happened. Back then, I didn't really know what happened, you know, what the truth was. And she still didn't know. But it was just such an interesting experience. And thanks to this program, you know, to be able to see both sides of it and to just not have anger or hold on any animosity towards anybody. What a blessing. Thank you. I'll pass.
Thank you, Cheryl. Next, we have Jordan L. We don't hear you, Jordan. Hey. Star one, please. There you go.
Do you hear me now? Okay.
Yeah.
Thanks, Diane, for moderating for us this morning. My name is Jordan L. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater, excuse me, in Colorado, and very grateful to be abstinent and on a meeting of Overeaters Anonymous this morning. The line that kind of stuck out to me was this bit about he thus used his own wrongdoing as a means of destroying the reputation of another. I got to say, I've had a lot of cleaning up to do around this kind of issue. And what struck me about the line is that just a couple of pages ago in the fifth step, we were talking about wanting to enjoy a certain reputation, but knowing in our heart we don't deserve it. I think that, God, I look at this paragraph and I'm like, damn, dude, like that's probably one of the most harmful things that you can do to someone else, right? And this guy, I'm sure he was thinking as he was doing it, like, this is my bitterly hated business rival, you know? This guy sucks. I'm sure he had, like, plenty of his own fault, you know? And he used all of that as justification to claim this thing that wasn't true and destroy his rival, you know, or I guess ruin his rival. I got to say, even like years into recovery, like I had an incident somewhat recently where someone else really screwed me over. I wouldn't call this person like a business rival, but they had really screwed me over by lying to me about something that they may or may not have known the truth about to begin with, right? And I got to say, like, there was lots of opportunity for retaliation after that. And so these days, I really have to keep in touch with God in order to navigate through those situations and those conversations and not cause more harm, not continue to let something like this go on and on and on, because this really is, it's the kind of situation that it could just go back and forth forever, you know? And I really got to get clear about the truth. That's where my sponsor comes in to help me. Because I'm a human, I got an ego. So I gotta run this stuff by a sponsor and get really, really clear on what the truth of this situation is so I can get to the other side of it. And that other person can too. So thanks for letting me share. That's all I got.
Thank you, Jordan. We have time for about maybe two, maybe three shares. So I want to unmute if you want to give me your name, please.
Kristen C. from New Mexico.
Kristen C. Anybody else? Okay, Kristen, take it away. Thank you.
Hi, I'm
Kristen. There you go.
Thanks for being here. This is a really awesome topic for me. Sorry, my phone's doing something weird here. I hope you can hear me. This is a really awesome topic for me. Because I'm on step 9 right now, and I'm super grateful that I've done step 9s in the past, so this one's not so formidable as some of the ones I've done in the past. And what I've learned from doing amends, and what I'll keep in mind this go around with it, is that I cannot predict the outcomes. I just have to do what's in front of me. And I'm thinking of two amends I made in the past that were really interesting because they didn't go at all the way I expected them to. One was to a college roommate. I thought the amends was pretty straightforward and simple, you know, just apologizing for not being the most considerate roommate. I mean, I would take her laundry coins and borrow clothes without asking and eat her food out of the fridge, just stuff like that, like no boundaries, you know. And I thought, well, that's just not that big of a deal. But it was a big a deal enough that I felt I owed an apology and owed her some financial restitution. And boy, she just blew a gasket. And it wasn't even about my amends. It was I hit some nerve in her that I absolutely was not expecting to hit. That was the bottom line. And I just had to throw my hands up at that one and say, well, I've done what I came to do, and I don't know what that was all about, but that's not my business. So I obviously hit a nerve in her that I absolutely was not expecting to hit. And then I made an amends to another person that I thought would just be the worst thing in my life, and it wasn't fun for sure, because I had really screwed her over bad. And she was so present and gracious during that amends, and that was unexpected. I was absolutely expected to be called a barrage of nasty names, most of which I felt I would have deserved, and I was absolutely stunned. So I cannot predict the outcome of amends at all, and I don't even try today after those experiences, but I do know that when I owe them, I owe them, and the outcome is up to God. I just have to do what's in front of me and do the directions in the book, which tell me that I owe amends, and definitely, I don't do them alone. I get guidance from my sponsor on how to do them, who I really owe them to. Sometimes I think I owe them and I don't.
Just a gentle reminder.
Thank you. That's it, really. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Kristen. We have time for another share. Somebody want to jump in and take it?
star one to unmute.
Hi,
who's this, please?
It's Agnes. I can share for 1 minute if that's all the time.
Okay,
I
great.
Have.
Please do. You actually have more than 1 minute. Go for it.
Oh, okay. So I've been listening, and I'm not quite at 9, but coming up on 8 and making a list of people I've harmed. And it just strikes me that with prayer and consultation with a sponsor, you know, we get enlightenment as to how to make some difficult amends. Right, but I've found that God presents the opportunity if we pray. So I've had to deal with gossip, you know, in the family milieu, and I've found that just saying I'm sorry is not enough. Sometimes public amends are required to do as much as I can to restore maybe loss of reputation that I've occasioned on somebody. So when I spread family gossip, and gossip is up there as very damaging, right? It's almost a pastime, but somebody who is not there to defend themselves is losing their reputation and don't even know it, you know, and face resentment and that ripple effect. So if I do that, I've found that it's not just enough to go and say I'm sorry to that person. This is what I did. As God has led me to find a way to publicly make that amends, kind of a thing. Like when I accused my best friend, really biting my tongue, I didn't want to say something worse. You know, it wouldn't have been okay to go just to her and say, I'm sorry, I accused you falsely when I did it in public. And so I prayed, and my sponsor led me. And one day in a public milieu, in a gathering at her place, I knelt down and I said, I am sorry, and I need people to know that it was a lie, right? So I think those difficult amends, God gives us the power. He always presents the opportunity to make it right. We just have to be humble enough to take it, because it's not about them or losing faith. Our life depends on it. Our abstinence depends on it. And with that, I pass. It's hard, but it's doable. And it takes what it takes to all lengths. Thank you, and I pass.
Thank you for that. And thank you to everybody who shared today. Let's see. I have to find my script. Sorry. All right. So, Let's see. Okay, we will now close with the reading from the Big Book. We're on page 164, and that will be followed by the Serenity Prayer. So our Big Book reader today is Jordan L. Jordan, star one, please.
Hello again. So our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize that we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you'll surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God